Good morning and welcome along to Farm Focus here on Clare FM. It's James Mulhall with you here today. So we've got plenty coming up on this morning's programme. We'll be talking to Talgisk about the ASIP programme, and we'll also be hearing from Machar na Ferma about their newest branch in Clare, as well as your market report from Ennis. We'll start as always though with a quick look at the farming forecast for the coming days. So today will be a windy day. The rain will develop during the morning and it'll turn heavy for a time, but it should clear around midday and that'll be followed by some sunshine and showers. It will turn cold later in the day with temperatures dipping to around 5 to 7 degrees by the evening time. Tonight it'll be windy with gales at the coasts and some further showers and overnight lows of around 4 to 6 degrees. It looks like Sunday will start windy with ongoing strong and gusty northwest winds, and most places will be dry with some sunny spells. However, showers are expected to affect some Atlantic coastal areas and some will be of hail as well, so just watch out for that. And afternoon temperatures of around 5 to 8 degrees. So a bit of an unsettled weekend ahead, but to distract from that for the moment, Paul Mullins from Talgisk in Ennis joins me now to talk about ASIP. Paul, good morning.
Good morning, James.
So Paul, the topic this week is the Agricultural Sustainability Support and Advice Programme. So I'll just get you to start off maybe to tell us a bit about what that actually is.
I suppose it's a mouthful, but I'm going to call it ASIP for simplicity's sake. But as you said, the Sustainability Support and Advice Programme, I suppose it is what it says on the tin, if you like. I suppose in a context, if we look at around at the, you know, in an agricultural context and what's happening in our own environment and at a global level, we constantly hear things about, you know, climate change, water quality issues, loss of biodiversity and so on. So it's something that the entire global community are talking about, and by and large most people are in agreement that it's happening and that they're aware of it. And I suppose agriculture has a potential role to play in all three areas as well. I suppose we constantly hear about climate change and so on. Again, looking at agriculture on a global level, those three things are affecting agriculture, you know, in terms of extreme weather events around the world, in terms of flooding, drought and so on, loss of species. I suppose, you know, one that comes to mind is in terms of bees, you know, and pollination and so on, biodiversity loss, you know, and they are threats to the sustainability of agriculture around the world. You know, if we bring this back to an Irish context, you know, the impacts of these issues mightn't seem as extreme, but, you know, we only have to look back at the events of the last 18 months, starting with Storm Ophelia, through to the snow, the beast from the east, you know, the drought last summer and so on. So there's a huge, you know, in terms of climate change or, you know, and so on. If you look at, we'll say, the decline in the bee populations, the wild bee populations in the country, if we look at the need for a hen harrier project in Clare, which Clare is part of, you know, to halt the decline of the prey of the bird, you know, and also the fact that we've lost an awful lot of our pristine water quality. You know, water quality in Ireland over the last 15 years, the bad water quality has improved, but the very good quality water seems to have disimproved. So, you know, that's an issue that we're also facing. Another concern with all these is the economics of the situation, you know, in terms of Irish agriculture. You know, we have Brexit, whatever the outcome of that is going to be. You know, we're trying to sell food on a world market on the basis that it's green, it's clean, it's environmentally sustainable and so on. And we need to be able to prove our green credentials going forward. So this is where the ASIP program kind of comes into it in terms of promoting and supporting sustainability on farms. It's a free, it's a confidential support program to farmers to help making their farm operations that bit more sustainable, you know, in terms of water quality and so on.
And what areas will the program be focusing on?
I suppose I was going to say we can answer this in a number of ways. So if we look at Talgisk and the Dairy Co-ops have appointed advisors to cover all areas of the country. So, you know, geographically, the entirety of the country is covered in one shape or form. The initial focus area, though, in terms of climate change, water and so on, will be on water quality, because there is huge integration with EPA and the local authorities and so on in terms of water quality. And it is an issue that we need to focus on. So nationally, there's 190 areas for action that are going to be the focus of this programme. It may delve into the other areas at a later point, but I suppose water is where we're going to start. And as I said, you know, pristine water quality, the amount of pristine water quality out there has been dropping. So it's something that probably we need to focus on. These 190 areas doesn't mean that there's bad water quality in that area. So if you are in one of these areas, it doesn't mean it's bad water quality. It's just maybe an area that's vulnerable to dropping down to water quality. So we're trying to maintain it as high as possible. So look, the aim of these programs will be, you know, it'll be to improve the status of it if it's poor, but it may be just to maintain the status of it and to put in mitigation measures to try to ensure that water doesn't become at risk.
And how many areas for action are in County Clare?
There are, broadly, you could say 11 areas for action in Clare. So they vary from Carrigaholt, Doonbeg, Duloc, and Anagira River, the Isle up near Listunvarna, Doolin, that neck of the woods. You have Licking Lake, there Innstymon, Kilfenora, Loch Inchiquin and Loch Atidown, Loch Graney and the Bleach or Blaich catchment in the northeast, the Graney River again near Scariff, and we also have the Broadford catchment. With respect to how the programme would work, the first stage is to hold a community meeting in a catchment. And basically the idea is to describe the catchment to the local community. So be it farmers, be it local dwellers, businesses, or whatever it is in the area. And to get feedback from the local community, because the local community know their rivers, you know, they know their environment, and it's an opportunity then for to highlight some of the concerns. The next stage then at that point would be, it's typically farmer oriented, it's a stream side event, but it's open to the public. It just demonstrates how water quality, how that status is arrived at in terms of pH, nutrient content, and the aquatic life of the river. So we do a demonstration of that, and we also look at maybe some of the mitigation measures that could be put into place. The following step from that then is that the catchment scientists, so these will be at all these meetings, these catchment scientists as well, but at that point they'll go and they'll walk these rivers, these catchments, and hopefully they'll be able to identify on a fairly accurate low-level basis where the potential issues are, what the potential pressures are in a catchment. So like the pressures can vary widely. It could be forestry, it could be quarries, it could be domestic wastewater, it could be urban wastewater or the lack thereof it, farmyards, industry, you know, so anywhere where there's, you know, potential for nutrients to leave our activities and end up in watercourses. Once a major pressure is identified, so the people involved in can be identified. So if it is, if the pressure in water in a catchment is urban wastewater treatment that isn't working correctly or is under capacity or is non-existent, well then I suppose you contact, you know, the people involved will get in contact with the Irish Water or the local authorities or whoever it might be. If in the case it's a farming situation, then they contact the ASIP advisor, which in Clare is myself. And, you know, we have a fair handle at that point what the geographical area is, and we'll try to identify those farmers and try to arrange visits to call out and see what are the issues and how can they be sorted out. That visit is free, it's voluntary, and it's absolutely confidential. So, again, you don't have to accept a visit. Even if you do have a visit, you don't have to carry out maybe potential actions that are involved. But I think most people would be kind of willing to, you know, to do their bit, you know, if they felt that they were at risk of causing a water pollution scenario. I've generally, from just what we've done so far and what training we've done and so on, generally I'd feel that most of the mitigation measures we'll be looking at would be relatively low tech, as in, you know, maintaining farmyard tidiness and cleanliness, watching out for vulnerable areas when applying fertilisers and so on. And maybe it's just somebody with a fresh eye coming onto a farm that might identify these areas that a farmer may not identify because they're there every day and they're under certain amounts of pressure and so on. There may be instances, and there probably will be the occasional instance, where there's inadequate slurry storage. So, you know, potential solutions for that are to put in additional slurry storage and so on. That can be expensive. Alternatively, and given the uncertain climate that we're facing, maybe there might be options for some people just to have a tweak of their management. You know, look at the stock that are there in September, October, maybe for someone productive stock, cows that are not in calf, a stock bull that's going to be sent on the road, to send them on the road prior to Christmas, prior to the wintering period, and therefore reduce the pressure on the slurry storage facilities and therefore, you know, solve the issue in that regard. The one thing I'd say is that every farm is going to be different. So you're not going to have, there's never going to be one solution fits all. But again, the one thing I'd always say is, well, it's voluntary. And it's confidential and it's free service. So, you know, I'd encourage people in those areas, you know, to take advantage of it while it's there.
And which catchments will be dealt with first?
the first catchment, I suppose, we've already dealt with the Broadford catchment to some degree, in that we had a public meeting last November in Kilbane, and we had a public meeting, a Streamside event there on the 15th of January, which was there just 10 days ago or so. And the one thing, I suppose, we don't expect huge issues in that catchment. It's, you know, the water quality in that catchment is very good. The one thing I'd say, though, is that if there is anybody in that catchment that just wants a visit and wants someone to look around their yards, look around their farm, just to kind of, as someone said, to future-proof it in case of further legislation or rules and regulations that may come down the line, you know, feel free to give us a shout. And I'll get out there in the next couple of weeks if they wish. So give a shout to the Teagasc office in Ennis. The next catchment where we're going to be looking at is going to be the Doonbeg catchment. We're going to have a community meeting there. It's going to take place in Tubridy's Bar in Kilclare on Thursday, 31st of January at 7:30. It'll go on for about an hour and a half. Everyone in the community is more than welcome to attend. There'll be a couple of presentations with question and answer sessions afterwards. After that, there'll be a cup of tea, you know, some light refreshments. And, you know, the people involved will be hanging about. And it's an opportunity, maybe, if someone doesn't want to put their head above the parapet in a public meeting, to have one-on-one chats with people, to maybe if they've concerns or issues that they want to address with people, you know, it's an opportunity to do that. Look, at some point after that, in the following couple of weeks, we'll organise a Streamside event in the area that, again, everybody is welcome to attend, and just to have a look at the biology of it and the you know, the chemistry of it, and see how water quality is arrived at for these catchments. Following on from that, we're going to do another one then in the Shillee catchment just west of Ennis, and that one is likely to take place towards the last week in February. And once we're starting on that, then we're going to move on to other ones, possibly up around Loch Rainy and so on.
Plenty of opportunities for farmers around the county anyway, Paul. Thanks a million for joining me this morning.
Thank you very much, James.
Paul Mullins there. We'll take a quick break now. Welcome back to Clare FM's Farm Focus. It's James Mulhall with you here this morning until 10. In a moment, we'll be talking to the Clare Chair of Machrane Fermo, but before that, with this week's Mart report from Ennis, here's Clare FM's Gavin Grace.
Thanks, James. Number increasing at Ennis Mart this past Thursday in both the bullock and heifer rings, with cull cow numbers static. Cull cows were a mix of both dairy and continentals. Trade improved for the stores all round, and forward cattle a similar trade. Cull cows met a strong trade and more customers about everywhere. A number of aged bulls were also on offer. These averaged €1.55 per kilo. In more detail then, the bullocks, one limousin, 450 kilograms, €1,255. Two Charlie, 480 kilos, €1,200. Two Limousin, 407 kilos, €1,090. Four Hereford Cross, 772 kilos, €1,425. One Aberdeen Angus Cross, 640 kilos, €1,300. Heifers, two Limousin Cross, 627 kilos, €1,400. One Charlie Cross, 570 kilos, €1,315. Three Limousin Cross, 520 kilos, €1,225. Four Charlie, 366 kilos, €890. And cull cows, finally, one Limousin, 720 kilos, €1,330. One Limousin, 640 kilos, €1,300. One Aberdeen Angus, 800 kilos, €1,130. One Frisian, 640 kilos, €1,060. One Frisian Cross, 800 kilos, €1,050. Back over to you, James.
Thanks, Gavin. Now, my next guest has joined me on this programme several times before to talk all things Machra. The youth farming organisation is setting up a new branch here in the west of the county after an absence of a few years. Killian Griffey is the Clare Chair and spoke to me before coming on air on the same.
Yes, indeed. I suppose we're delighted to announce that we'll be launching a new Kilrush Machra and Afirma Club on Saturday, the 26th of January at 8:30 in the Haven Arms in Kilrush. And I suppose when I was elected chairman of Clare Machra last August, I dedicated to setting up a new club because I felt it was needed. And I have, along with other members that have been members a few years, have seen the benefits that joining a Machra na Fermo club can give to young people. So over the last few months, we've been engaging and promoting the initiative with interested people. So we've sat down and met with a few people in advance of that. So we have 20 people so far signed up in advance of the launch, which is very heartening.
And with regards, I suppose, to that side of the county, would you have had any clubs in the west at all?
Yeah, in the past, we did have a West Clare Mockra Club, and I suppose just over time, it just became inactive. And sometimes what we see with Mockra Clubs is that a certain cohort of an age group would join together and their friends or whatever. And as they got older, up to the 35 mark, so members are able to be between the ages of 17 and 35. And if they reach the 35 mark, they graduate up to the IFA. So then sometimes what happens is that the club gets dormant. But we've engaged with a number of people from, I suppose, the ages of around 19, a few 19-year-olds up to 20, 21. And it's great to see that those people are interested. And I suppose their backgrounds are, some of them might be in college, in various universities and in Chagas courses and agricultural colleges. And they're coming home at the weekends and they don't see really too many clubs or organisations, apart from the GAA maybe, that they can join up to and be involved in the various activities that we are doing of a calendar year. So it's great to see that happening.
And I suppose having a branch in Kilrush, you know, there's a good bit of a catchment area there. Maybe some people might have been coming into Ennis and it'd be a bit of a trek for them. They're going to have something kind of on their doorstep now, and there's an awful lot of villages and rural areas around Kilrush that there'd be a good scope of probably a lot of young farmers really that might be around.
There is, and I suppose the key point we want to get across is that all are welcome from surrounding areas to join the club, and there's no parish rule, and you know, people are allowed to join from different professions, the students, so it's not just for farmers, and that's the key point always to get across. So I remember an article there from last September, and it spoke about kind of a chronic shortage of young farmers in West Clare, and you know, it was very negative on the whole area. And it was looking at, you know, people are there's less and less full-time farmers. But I suppose that's the way the whole situation has been made up. And people now have to supplement their farming income by doing something else part-time. And even, you know, some of the figures, if you look at the census figures, the number of farmers in Clare has fallen from about 3,500 to 3,200 between 2011 and 2016. So it's not a huge drop, but what we'd like to do by setting up this club is to bring positivity back to West Clare and to say that there are young people in West Clare and to get them energised on the ground. And it's a perfect avenue for that to happen.
And you mentioned there a lot of positivity and that it's not just farming as well. And I suppose, unfortunately, I suppose over recent generations in particular, there's always a kind of a negative connotation with farming that wasn't there maybe, you know, when you go back 30, 40 years. And for now, for some people, it seems to almost be a thing of shame to be from a farming background. But this, you know, that's no reason to be put off Mockra. It's not just about the farming. And it's just, like you say, put a positive spin on things.
Exactly. And, you know, young people have a desire really to mix amongst themselves and to be involved in socialising, and not just that pub culture, but to be doing various activities from a sporting perspective. Like recently, or next month, we'll be engaging in our basketball county round, and the winners go up to the national final. So there's huge competition amongst the various clubs, and you mightn't do sports that you hadn't really competed in since primary or secondary school. So it's great to have that avenue, and also to develop oneself as well. Our chairman in Ennis Mockra recently competed in the public speaking finals, came through the semi-final and got to the final. So it really does help with life skills. And if you are in years to come faced with the task that you might have to give a best man speech or something as simple as that, you know, it's great to be involved in those various activities.
Killian Griffey there of Clare Mockra on their latest expansion. And that is our lot for today. Just about out of time here. But before I go, just to say, if you do want to listen back to today's show, you'll be able to find our podcast online on the Clare FM website. That's clare.fm. And that'll be online from Monday. And of course, I will be back with more Farm Focus next week. In the meantime, though, don't go anywhere at all. The man himself is up after this with all your favourite country classics.
Farm Focus was sponsored by Munster Group. Munster Insurance and Financial Limited, trading as Munster Group, are regulated by the Central Bank of Ireland.